and welcome to the D2 Sports Show, where I bring knowledge and insight to the wonderful world of sports. And I am your host, the coach. Welcome back to D2 Sports. I am your wonderful host, Coach Don. And today I have a wonderful, wonderful interview from a gentleman who's from the Bronx in New York. So this is going to be very exciting, and I'm sure you guys are going to want to tune in and hear this. I am speaking with Mr. Coach Garfield, who does a lot of training, and he's going to fill in the details of what he actually does and how he grew up and everything in that nature. So let's get ready, and without further hesitation, Coach Garfield, are you there?
Hi, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm so glad that I could get you on the sports show, and also, you know, we can do some networking and things in that nature. So without further hesitation, man, I'm ready to give the floor over to you. Just give the audience a little background about yourself, how you grew up and things in this nature, and what did you do during school or when you played sports and stuff like that.
Well, pretty much, I was born and raised in Kingston, Jamaica. Started playing basketball at age 9. Played high school ball there. Then I got a basketball scholarship to Seminole State College in Oklahoma. That's in 1993. Played 2 years there. Then I got another scholarship to Southwestern Oklahoma State University, also in Oklahoma. So pretty much after college, I tried to play professionally. You know, it didn't work out. So I ended up starting coaching. And that led me to, actually, after college, I came to New York because it's more opportunity as far as, getting looked at, and there's better competition. So I came to New York and I started doing coaching. And it led from there. Now, currently, I coach junior high school, high school, college, and professional players. You know, sometimes during the wintertime, I coach, junior Knicks tournament and AAU. But I pretty much primarily work with individual players.
Yeah, and that is very, very awesome that you're training them in basketball and learning the fundamentals and things like that. Now, did you say you played a little bit overseas when you finished college in basketball?
No, I did not play overseas. I tried to play overseas. It did not work out.
Okay.
I didn't get an offer that I wanted.
Uh-huh.
I didn't think it was worth my time to travel for the money that they were giving me. So I didn't take these offers.
Oh, okay. Understood. And so can you tell the audience, because I know you coming from the New York area, we know there's basketball talent around those areas. So how competitive is it, you know, being in the Bronx, and, you know, you have Brooklyn over here, you have Queens, you have, you know, Manhattan, which I'm referring to Harlem. You know, can you kind of just give the audience a little bit of the competitiveness between the kids in basketball up there?
Well, you know, I was told, that New York is a mecca of basketball, the ball in itself is competitive because each ball wants to be the best ball, so they bring a lot of competitive nature, you know, and so whenever you playing different tournaments, you know, people always trying to represent where they're from. You know, hey, that person's from the Bronx, that person's from Brooklyn, mm-hmm. and they really try to compete. And pretty much most of the coaches here pretty much have some hands in coaching these players, because normally a player has some potential, a lot of coaches going to try to get them to play on their teams. So pretty much all the good players know a lot of the coaches, and they always try to fight to try to get, you know, these players on their teams or whatever. But for me, I try to develop players, a no-name player or someone who has limited amount of skills or basic skills, and I try to, you know, teach that player. So I try not to get into the tug of war with these coaches or for these players. So most of my players I coach are all players that I actually taught the game or you know, developed the game in some capacity.
Wow. And that is so awesome in that thing, because just like you're saying, New York and particularly New York City is the mecca of basketball, or one of the meccas of basketball. Down here where I live in Texas. So the mecca sport for Texas is football. You know, everybody is football, football, football. And so right. I know how that can get, you know, competitive, especially. And I was telling someone in another interview, like here in Texas, thank God they don't have AAU football, because man, you probably just find people laid out in the streets. People will be killing each other trying to get these players and develop them, you know. So with that being said, you know, like you said, you go in, and that's smart. I think that's a smart little niche that you're just focusing on. Hey, I'm just trying to train you, and I'm trying to train the kids who may not have made that team or need a little more push, or to know what they need to work on in order to make a team, or, you know, get on the team or get on the AAU team, or to advance to the another level as far as going to college. So how often do you train athletes up there?
Well, I pretty much, it's every day. Mm-hmm. Every chance I get every day, because I think if you know, I want to keep them, I don't want to train once a week. Mm-hmm. I want to do it every day, because repetition is very, very important in development.
Right.
You know, so I pretty much train every day. I don't have any days off. I try to be there with these kids, watch them develop, and that's my thing. I want my kids to be successful mm-hmm. on and off the court. So I spend a lot of time with them.
Cool. And have you had anyone right now? I mean, you know, you could throw a name out there. Have you had any one of those kids that's been successful that has made it to the next level, like collegiate level or somewhere that they were pursuing to go?
Well, I've coached a lot of players that, you know, actually play college basketball and you know, a few play overseas. I've not had an opportunity to coach someone who actually made it to the NBA.
Uh-huh.
But success to me is having a kid that couldn't dribble a basketball or couldn't shoot before, and they become great shooters or great passers or great players and actually gain scholarship and play, you know, 4 years of competitive basketball or even go overseas or even graduate from college, or a kid that, you know, could hardly read and now he's, you know, has a good job, graduates. So that's what I measure success.
Exactly.
For me.
Exactly.
But I haven't had the opportunity to have a player play the NBA yet.
Yeah, and not the NBA, but just like you said, just made it to college. Just use basketball as a tool, as you was just naming, where they were able, if they were in a situation at home or they're looking to better themselves, whether they stay with basketball or move on and do something else. That's all. So,
right.
Mm-hmm. So, no, that's great. That's great to hear in that situation. And can you give the audience, you know, we're not trying to get into your whole details or your regimen, but can you just kind of give them like an outline of what you do when you train? So, for example, like we run for 1 hour, we shoot shots, you know, for a 1 hour or something like that.
Well, for me, I spend a lot of time on fundamentals and the art of shooting. I really spend a lot of time on shooting, because I think if you can't score the ball, then you won't be able to win.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of coaches spend time on dribbling. That's not me. I spend the least amount of time on dribbling as possible. Most of my players that I coach can actually throw the ball, and I feel that's the way you can win, you know, shooting, winning and lose games for you.
Mm-hmm.
So I spend a lot of time fundamental, the art of shooting, teaching the best way to shoot, is get a quick shot. I don't do a lot of running with the ball. I mean, we do a lot of running with the ball. So most of the drills that we do is game condition, game situation, you know, coming off screens, you know, getting a quick shot.
Mm-hmm.
So we do a lot of drills that's game condition.
Yeah, that's very good. Because a lot of times people seem to just focus on one aspect, you know, especially the parents when they bring their child or they go to a basketball game or bring their child in for coaching. They seem to just see, OK, can my child score the ball? They don't look at the other aspects of passing, dribbling, things like that. Is my child, you know, running the team if they're playing the point guard position? Are they controlling the offense or dictating the tempo? Or are they a defensive stopper on the defensive end? Are they grabbing rebounds? So a lot of times people measure that success of their kid in the sport by if they're scoring a basket. And it's the same way in football. People measure the success of their kid in football if they're running a touchdown, you know, and not looking at the other attributes of the game. Like, hey, you know, my kid didn't score a touchdown, but he made 10 tackles in this game, or he made 2 interceptions, or he caused 3 fumbles in the game. So like you saying, that's great. You focus on that one aspect. What is it that the main thing you would try to explain to a parent who's bringing their kid in and say, hey, you know, I want my kid to be good? What is the main thing you would tell that parent?
Well, pretty much I encourage the kids and I encourage the parents, about improvements. You know, it's not about, I always tell my kids in practice, I'd rather you, I work on fundamentals, I'd rather you miss now than make it in the game than make it now and miss in the games. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times coaches teach these kids, oh, you're making it where the game they're missing. So I work on fundamentals. So I tell my kids and I tell my parents about form. That if you have a great shot and you shoot the ball the right way, I'm fine with it. If you play with heart and you play the right way, I'm fine with it. That's success to me. Mm-hmm. You know, playing basketball the right way, and if that's, you know, that's what makes a success. Like I said, you know, improvement. You know, every day I can see the development of that child, or that, you know, that player. Or I see, you know, that's what I measure. You know, that's what I measure. So I try to instill that in the parents. I try to instill that in the kids.
Mm-hmm. So, and with that, because you said you coach some AAU teams, correct?
Yes.
Okay. So with that aspect, you know, and we're kind of going into the coaching realm here. What is it like? Are you one of those coaches that is just focused on, hey, I just need to win? So if I got 10 or 12 players on my team, I'm just going to play the starting five or the five guys that's going to help me win. Or are you one of these coaches that, hey, I'm looking at all 12 of my guys, I want to get them on the floor so they can improve as a player? Which can you kind of give the audience, which kind of coach are you in that situation?
Well, I coach, you know, 2 different teams. You know, with the AAU team, with the other team, my junior Nick team, I mean, I have these guys for years. I have worked with them the whole summer, so they know what it takes, what I expect from them. But AAU is pretty much, you know, how AAU works now, you know, kids from the neighborhood or kids that come back and actually pays. So a lot of AAU teams are great players. You know, they take the ones that can afford to pay. You know, a lot of these great players can't really afford it. So my thing is, I look at the team that I have and be realistic. You know, like, hey, listen, we might win a game, or might win a few games, or might not even win any games. Or have a team that I know that great players that I know, hey, listen, now we're going to try to win the championship. So it all depends on what team, the team that I have. If I have a team that is talented, then I'm going to try to win the championship. And everyone on my team plays. I'm not going to put you on my team if you're not going to play, and that's just me.
Right.
There's no possible way I should put you on a team and you're not playing. So I'm not, that's just not going to pick you up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's just my concept. So everyone on my team plays.
Awesome.
Now, depending on how much you play, that depends on you. That's not me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always tell my players that. You know, the amount of time you get in the game depends on you. You know, did you do the right thing? Are you playing? Are you playing the right way? Are you playing with aggression? Are you playing with assertiveness?
Mm-hmm.
You know, are you playing like you want to play? You know, because there's somebody there that's trying to get your position.
Right.
You know, so it all depends.
Yeah. Okay. That's very good. And in that situation, you know, when you're coaching the guys and you're doing things, what I know sometimes what comes into play, and I know a lot of people, a lot of coaches, a lot of players, they try to downplay this, but I've been a basketball official too back in my day. So what is it sometimes like when the players out there, they're trying, they get a bad call, you know, they look at the ref like, hey man, you lost your mind, you know, on that call. What do you normally tell your players, whether it's in practice or in the game, about how the game is officiated? What do you normally tell them in those situations?
Well, as far as I still am a player from day one, do not say a word to the referee. You know, just play. I just want you to play. Do not say anything to the referee. Do not say anything to the stands or anyone. Let me do the talking. All I need for you to do is play. And do what I ask, and that's all. You know, there's not a lot of pressure on you, just play. So most of my kids really are instilling in my kids not to engage in any kind of conflict or any kind of conversation with the referee whatsoever. So, you know, pretty much that's not really not going to happen with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because I already tell them from day one, you know, the first day of practice, listen, you know, either all I want to do is play hard, play smart, and do whatever I ask, and that's it.
So awesome.
I don't. And the moment a kid decides to have a conversation with a referee, I'm gonna have a few on the bench.
Okay.
Because, you know, generally what happens, you know, when kids are having a bad game, the first thing they want to do is point the finger. So it's either the coach's fault, the referee is calling a bad call,
mm-hmm.
or it's the other player's fault.
Right.
So I try to get that out, you know, take responsibility for your action.
Oh, that's good. That's very good. And that's kind of how I tried to coach my teams in the past, whether it be in football or basketball, is, as you just said, is let's control what we can control. All right, now, yes. Will there be a bad call? Sure, there'll be a bad call or two, may even be three in the game. But let's stay focused in the game, because if we are the better team and if I am the better coach, we're still going to prevail in that situation. You know, whether no matter how many bad calls, if we are a much more powerful team and we're executing, we're going to prevail regardless of the calls. So, no, that's very great that, you know, you instilled that from day one. Now, getting on, because this is going to probably be my favorite part that I was kind of holding out. What I want to ask is, because just like you told me earlier, you know, you're out of the Bronx. Give the audience some of the, you know, because you have an AAU team and I'm sure you guys may go into Brooklyn and play. You may go into Queens and play. You may go into Harlem or somewhere. Kind of give the audience a background, like some of those environments you go in, because I'm sure those environments can be exciting, especially when you're a team that's from a different borough or a different section of New York. I'm sure you see some interesting things and the crowd is probably against you guys. Just kind of lay out, you know, a couple of stories you had in the situation where y'all went to play in a different borough of New York.
Like I said, it's very competitive. It's very competitive. It's very competitive. You know, when you're doing close borders and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's really tough. I had incident where Terry came on the court and you know, had conflict with the referee.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, with conflict with the referee. So, It gets very difficult sometimes. Very difficult sometimes coming from a different area, coming from a different area. You know, try to compete with other teams. Mm-hmm. You know, so we had some times where we had to like exit the building to the back.
Yeah, that's one, and that's what I'm talking about. That's the stories right. I would like to hear. Is like what in some situations, you know, maybe you beat a team from Brooklyn or something, and the crowd, the spectators probably didn't take that too happy because you like, oh, them dudes from the Bronx, you know, how, you know, let's get them or something in that situation.
Right. Yeah. So yeah, it happens. But pretty much I've always, you know, handled myself in a very clear way, and my kids try to emulate me in some aspects. So, we try not to get involved. Luckily, it hasn't happened where we had an incident where we had to, you know, get a kind of physical altercation or any kind of verbal altercation.
Mm-hmm.
Generally, the parents that happened, but so it luckily for us, fortunately for us, it didn't happen. But I've seen it happen with other people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, understood. And also up there in those areas, especially on the AAU side, do you guys participate like in some of these big AAU tournaments? For example, you know, this is the Nike tournament where Chris Paul is going to be here, or this is the LeBron James tournament where LeBron might make a guest appearances, or you may have some collegiate coaches who will make guest appearances. Have your teams ever participated in those up in the New York area?
No, the AAU team that I'm affiliated with is only a C division team. It's not the teams that compete in those national recognized tournaments, or you know, A division teams.
Okay.
You know the PSA Cardinals and all these other teams, the Gauchos and stuff. But my, you know, team I'm affiliated with is only a C division team, so our players are not very you know, national recognized or anything. So we just play right now to get recognized. So no, I haven't got an opportunity to play in that circuit yet.
Oh, okay. Well, that's well done. And so overall, at the end of the day, kind of going back to earlier, when you do have that kid that first came to you for training, and let's say they couldn't dribble or they couldn't shoot or just whatever, and you helped that individual, and that individual, as they got older, was able to go to college or technical school and became a productive citizen in life, and they come back to you and say, hey, Coach Garfield, thank you so much, man. Thank you for what you've done for me. Have you ever had those incidents, those feel-good stories?
Yeah, actually, I have several of those, actually. You know, that guys that I knew, you know, when they're 10, 11, 12, and now they have a well-established job, you know, and it makes me feel so proud that, hey, you have my hands in this person's success.
Mm-hmm.
As well as I have a lot of, you know, incidents where, you know, guys are players that I help,
mm-hmm.
you know, just pretty much act like I don't exist anymore. I'm the worst person ever.
Uh-huh.
And so we have a lot of success stories, as well as our stories where, you know, I feel betrayed or you know, feel like someone stabbed me in the back. You know, I've had stories like that also.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you know, I'm still going to do what I enjoy doing, and I'm still going to do whatever it takes to help others. Because that's what I live for, to help others, you know?
Yeah, and that's the main thing right there. And, of course, just like you said, will every kid on your team, you know, come back and congratulate you? No, but you may have one or two in that situation.
Yeah.
So, and to me, that was the joy that I had when I was coaching, is even if I just had one kid that came back to me and said, hey, coach, thank you so much for what you done for me. And I'm doing this now. I'm moving forward. Got my life on track. This, you know, naming off different things that they're doing in the positive format. I'm happy about that. You know, that I was able to reach one, you know, out of however many. Go ahead. Go ahead,
coach. It's a great it's a great feeling. It's a great feeling. Great feeling. You know, I actually attend, you know, these kids' graduation, or, you know, or write a recommendation letter for them to get a job. You know what I mean? And they come back and say, thank you, coach. You know, thank you for what you did. And it's one of the greatest feelings, you know?
Yes, most definitely. And that's where I'm coming from in that situation. So, Mr. Garfield, with all that being said, how do people, you know, because I may have some listeners that might be in the tri-state area and listening to what you said, they might be interested in signing up with you for training or joining your AAU team. How do people get in contact with you?
Well, I'm on social media. On Instagram, it's Garfield_R. GARFIELD_R. It's on Instagram. And then on Facebook is Garfield Richards. Mm-hmm. So pretty much you can find me there. Or my email is GarfieldR11@gmail.com. So that's Garfield, letter R, number 11, at gmail.com. So I'm very easy to find. I'm everywhere now. I'm on LinkedIn, Garfield Richards on LinkedIn. I mean, so I'm pretty much easy to find. Mm-hmm. And they can always contact you. And then they know.
Most definitely. And if they're in the New York area, I will send them your way. And definitely in that point there. And is there anything else you would like to share with the audience?
No, I just want to thank you for having me. And you know, I'm hope that with this program that, you know, I'll get a wide audience and people will actually, you know, look me up and realize that I can assist with the basketball or help you with in some way with your skill development.
Right. And not only that, since you said it, we'll also have you come back on the show, you know, a little while in the future to kind of give us an update on what's going on and what you're venturing into. So we'll make you kind of like almost a regular, you know, that will come in and give your point of view. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
I would love to.
All right. And my last question, kind of off the subject here, but it's still dealing with basketball. We've now narrowed it down. We got four teams left, two in the East, two in the West. So who are you taking to win the Eastern Conference Final and winning the Western Conference Final?
Well, that's a tough one, but you know, you can't vote against LeBron James in the East. I mean, you know, there's no possible way you can vote against that man. You know, he's going to show up. He makes his teammates better. So I'm going with Cleveland. As far as the Western Conference, it's up in the air. Mm-hmm. But I think Golden State have too much power. You know, offensive power.
Yeah,
because James Harden is known to not show up in crunch time, but I'm thinking he's going to show up this time, so it's going to be close. But I will go to Golden State again. I'm going to beat Cleveland.
All right. Awesome. Well, again, thank you for being here on the D2 Sports Show. I appreciate it, Coach. And also, just a shout out to the audience too. You can find me on Facebook. As you go to your Facebook and you can just type in D2 Sports Podcast. You can follow my page there. And I'm also on Twitter, which is the @ or hashtag or whatever they call it. It's the @D2Sports27 on Twitter. And then if you're not on social media at all, you can go to my website, which is www.d2sports27. And of course, the T and 27 is just numbers.com. And you can also go there, sign up for the free newsletter and the blog and whatever that I post or whatever that I'm doing, you'll get email updates on that. So with that being said, I would like to thank Coach Garfield one more time for joining me. And stay tuned for the next episode. Thank you so much.